All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf Dalet in Maseches Makas. Amazing to see we're already on daf Dalet. We're picking up Gimel Amud Beis 3b. We have a lot to do today. And we're picking up with Amar Li Shmuel Rav Masna, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom, Gimel Amud Beis. A lot to do. Amar Li Shmuel Rav Masna. We'll say, so Shmuel Zot Rav Masna. Lo teisiv akar eich ad mefarash laha shmaisa. So we'll say, remember again, we actually left off yesterday in the middle of a sugya, which we're picking up with now, which has to do when I lend money to someone and I don't specify a duration, is there an understood duration to that loan? So Shmuel said to Rav Masna, don't sit down, literally meaning, don't take your seat in the Beis Medrash until you explain to me the following statement. Mina ha milsa da amar abonon. From where do we learn this particular statement that Chazal say? That if you lend someone money, ma'avis ma, meaning I'm lending money stam. But say what that means is I'm lending money, and I did not specify a duration. So you are not permitted to go ahead and request for repayment for the loan less than 30 days. In other words, the 30 days is the standard duration. Whether you are going ahead and what? Whether you are going ahead and lending with a document or you are lending with a verbal agreement. So we'll say, where do we see this from? So we'll say, because the Pasuk says, the seventh year has approached, it is the Shemitah year. Now we'll say, the Pasuk says, when the seventh year comes, the Shemitah year comes, ultimately you can't collect your debts. Shemitah cancels the debts. So the Gemara says, Mimashma Shenemar Karvash Nasa Shevein Odeh Shashish Nasa Shemitah. So we'll say, the Pasuk seems to be redundant. Namely, once you're telling me that the seventh year is coming, I know that it's the Shemitah year. Why the need to say both the seventh year and the Shemitah year? Watch this. Elamata malom shnasa shmita. Lomar lecha yesh shmita acheres sheigazu. Rabbi said to teach me that there's the seventh year shmita, and by the way, there's another shmita year that is like the seventh year. What's the other shmita year that's like the seventh year? Rabbi said ve'ezozu zu amalves chaveros stam. Rabbi said ultimately again, this is a person who goes ahead and lends money to his friend without specifying a duration. She'eino rashei letovo b'pachos mishloshim yom. So Rabbi said teaches me that what? That halacha lemaisa, I'm not permitted to collect the debt less than 30 days. So we'll see, it's actually an interesting drush on the pasuk. So what the Gemara is saying over here is that lemaisa, there are two different, the pasuk is telling me about two different types of Shemitah experiences. One is a seventh year Shemitah, and one is another kind of Shemitah. What does Shemitah represent? Shemitah represents an inability to collect the debt. What's the other period of time that's like Shemitah? 30 days after you lend money. That if you lend money, for 30 days, the debt is uncollectible. You can't collect. After 30 days, the debt is collectible. So now, obviously, if people stipulate that a loan duration is less than 30 days, of course you can do that. You could stipulate any duration you want. What the Gemara is pointing out is, in the absence of an agreed upon collection time, 30 days is the minimum. So the Gemara goes, I don't remember, shloshim yom b'shana chashav kishana. Because we've also seen in other contexts that 30 days can count as year. What context is this true? We know that for 3 years, you're not allowed to go ahead and eat from the fruit of the tree, arlo. What happens if you planted a tree a month before Rosh Hashanah? So if you planted a month before Rosh Hashanah, so 1 month counts as a year. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. So the reason why the Gemara adds that in is because, again, that's what the Gemara is saying. You have two different types of Shemitah years. One is the seventh year, which is the Shemitah year, and the other one is the 30-day period after which you lend money, which is also like a Shemitah year in that the debt is not collectible during that time. So we'll say now we're just stating other statements of Rav Yehuda. Provost, listen to this. This person has an article of clothing. So if you can imagine, it's like a shirt or a tunic of sorts. And what happens? You want to open up a neck hole. So it's one garment. You want to open up a neck hole. So what happens if you open up the neck hole on Shabbos? Chayiv chatos. Rabbi says, chayiv chatos. Why? Rashi points out to her, this is makeh bepatish. Rabbi says, this is the final, delivering the final hammer blow on something. Completing a utensil is an av malacha. Maskeh for Rav Kana, v'chi ma'bein zeh le'megufas chavos. So we'll say, we don't have time for it today, but this is actually the interesting sugya of opening bottles and cans on Shabbos, which in Meretz Hashem will find the time to come back to this sugya. So why is this any different than opening up a sealed barrel. I have a wine barrel on Shabbos. I want to take off the top of the barrel. Yet I'm allowed to do that on Shabbos. Why is removing the top of that barrel different than opening up the neck hole on the garment? Amarlei zechibor v'zeino chibor. There's a big difference, I will say. Because why? Because the garment is one unified piece of fabric. By creating the neck hole, I'm creating an opening that did not exist before. That's makke bepadish. That's finishing, delivering the final hamlo. Also, when you have the barrel, what's the chap? The barrel, remember again, the lid was a separate piece. What happens then? It's then sealed onto the barrel. Opening up the lid is not creating anything new, but rather, again, it's just detaching something that was previously detached already. This Shavuot says, like on just a Hilchos Shabbos, is often what the post can bring down is the big distinction between metal caps versus plastic caps. Okay, we'll have to find the time to do that halachos as well. Next Shavuot says, "Vam Rav Yehuda Marav." We'll say fascinating case. Shloshes lugin mayin shenafal asochan kortov shal yain umar ayin kemar yain v'naflu lamikva. We'll say, listen to this case. A little bit of background with this: a mikvah, minimum share of a mikvah is 40 saw. Once you have 40 sa'ah of water, you're golden. What do I mean by that? That lemaisa, again, even if drawn water, what we call mayim she'uvin, or even other kinds of liquid fall into the mikvah, they do not invalidate the mikvah. Once the mikvah has its shear, ultimately it's fine. Let's say the mikvah doesn't have 40 sa'ah. So the halacha is 3 lugin, a lug is a measurement, 3 lugin of mayim she'uvin, of drawn water, will invalidate the mikvah. However, that's only if it's drawn water. If some other liquid falls into the mikvah, like wine, although or other liquids, that does not invalidate the mikvah. So we'll say, listen to what's happening over here. In this case, I have 3 lugin of water, into which fell a 3 lugin of drawn water, mayin shuvin, which is possible for a mikvah, and a kurtov of wine falls into those 3 lugin of water. What happens? The kurtov of wine changes the appearance of the water, so that now the water looks like wine. And what happens? Then, v'naflu l'mikvah. Then I will say, ultimately, again, the water falls into the water that looks like wine, combination, fell into a mikvah. The mikvah is less than 40 sa'ah. What's the halacha? Lo pasluhum. The mikvah is not possible. I will say, now, v'pashtos, why is the mikvah not possible? V'pashtos, because since it looks like wine, therefore what? We treat it like wine, and wine doesn't invalidate a mikvah. So the Gemara says, "Maskev l'Rav Kana v'chima bein zeh l'meit seva." But why is that different than colored water? After, when it comes to colored water, this time Rabbi Yossi Omer meit seva polsin as a mikvah b'shloshes lugin. Yet we learn Rabbi Yossi says that when it comes to colored water does in fact go ahead and passel a mikvah with if it's in the measurement of 3 lugin. Amrli Rava. Hasam mayid the tzivam mikri. It's different. In that case, I will say it's called colored water. In other words, it's still water. However, hacha chamra meziga mikri. Here, I will say, what do we call this mixture? Diluted wine. And because it's diluted wine, wine doesn't invalidate the mikvah. Vatanei bichia horidu asam mikvah. Yet bichia said the mikvah is not kosher. So what's going on here? Amar Rava lo kasha. Harav Yochanan ben Uri harabanan. We'll say 2 different opinions. This nan, here we go. Shloshes lugin mayim. We'll say chasav kortov. If you have 3 lugin of water minus a kortov, then what happens? Shenafal osochan kortov yayin. A kortov of wine falls into it. Now we'll say, now watch what's happening in this. It's a little bit different than the first case. The first case, you had 3 lugin of water into which a kortov of wine fell, transforming the appearance of the mixture into wine. This case, you have three lugin of water, less a kortov of wine then falls in, umarin kemar yayin, and it looks like wine. What's the halacha? V'naflu l'mikvah, and it falls into the mikvah. Lo pasluhu. Ultimately, again, this mixture does not invalidate the mikvah. V'chein, gimel lugin mayim chasa kortov. And I will say, similarly again, if you have 3 lugin of water, less a kortov, shenafal asochan kortov chalav, where you have a kortov of milk that fell in, umar ehen kemare mayim. But now this mixture looks like water, v'naflu l'mikvah, and it falls into the mikvah, lo pasluhu. Ultimately, again, the mixture does not invalidate the mikvah. We'll say, now, v'pashas, even before we go on, why not? What would you say in this case, why not? Why not? Because it's not 3 lugin. Remember, again, 3 lugin of mayim shuvin is the magic number that invalidates a mikvah of less than 40 sa'ah. The common denominator in both of these cases is you have less than 3 lugin of drawn water. Remember, you have 3 lugin less a kortov. In case number 1, there's a kortov of wine introduced. In case number 2, there's a kortov of milk introduced. Bottom line is you don't have 3 lugin of drawn water, of mayim shuvin. So, be pashtos, what the first opinion seems to be saying is, if there's not three lugin of drawn water, and some other liquid completes the three lug measure, whether that additional liquid changes the appearance of the drawn water or not is irrelevant. As long as you have less than three lugin of drawn water, you're okay. Your mikveh is going to be all right. Rabbi Yochanan, however, we'll say that that's the opinion of the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Hakol Olech Achar Hamara. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says no. Everything depends on the appearance of the mixture. If the mixture, the complete three lug mixture, looks like water, then what? It will invalidate the mikvah. If it looks like wine, the mikvah will be totally okay. So we'll say, it seems to be that this is the fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanon. According to the Rabbanon, what's the operative principle? What are we looking for? What's the determinant? How much water? As long as you have less than three lug of water, even though now the whole mixture is three lug, as long as it's less than three lug of water, I don't care what the mixture looks like, it will not invalidate the mikvah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, once you're up to three lugin of, we'll call it, foreign liquids in the mikvah. Well, it doesn't sound right, foreign liquids in the mikvah. But, you know, once you're up to three lugin of foreign liquids in the mikvah, so the mice again, what we have to look at is, what's the appearance? What's the appearance? So says the Gemara. So Rapapa. Mostly now the truth is what we're stating as fact. Rapapa actually raised as a question. What's the question? Dubai Rapapa. Rav Tani Chaser Korta Bereisha. So let's listen to this. Now Rav, when he presented this case, discussed a three lug of Maim Shuvin drawn water minus a quart of aval shlosh lug in the Tanakama pasli. But I will say, according to the Tanakama, if you would have a complete three lug of water, which would what? Even if wine would be introduced to that afterwards, and it would appear like wine, according to the Tanakama, since you have three lug of drawn water, so the pashtas again, it should still be pasul. Va'asir Rabbi Yochanan, the main man Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, no, hakol holy achar hamare, everything ultimately goes ahead and what? Everything goes after the appearance. The Rav Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and therefore Rav would hold the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Odil Rabbi say, or here's the other possibility: Rav Lo Tani Chaser Korta of Bereisha. Rav didn't discuss ultimately again a case of where the water is missing a quart of, and rather what? The Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Ki Pligi Aseifa Hu Dipalig. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say, when he argues, is ultimately arguing on the second case. The Rav do Amar ki divrei hakol, and therefore Rav's position, Rabosai, would be in accordance with everyone. So the Rav Papa miboyle, so Rav Papa Rabosai would have a kasha. The Rav pshitale, but according to Rava, ultimately again the mahalich over here was simple. Amar Rav Yosef lo shmiya li hashmaisa. So Rabosai listens as Rav Yosef said. To be honest, I've never heard this entire discussion. Rabosai, now if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says Amar Rav Yosef lo shmiya li hashmaisa. It's about halfway, a little bit more than halfway down in the short lines of Rashi. Amar Rav Yosef lo shmiya li hashmaisa. Talmid Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yosef said, you know, I am a Talmud of Rav Yehuda, and I never heard this. V'lo shemati mipiv shmuazu. I never heard this particular ruling. De Amar le'el b'shmei gimel lugin ma'ay shenafa l'sochan. Amar le'abayis. Abayis said, what do you mean you never heard it? At Amrit le'inehelon. You taught it to us. Right? Not only did you not, you taught it to us, v'hachi amras, and this is what you told us, v'hachi amras nihilon, derav lo tani chaser korta bereisha. And you taught us that ultimately, again, Rav's statement doesn't even require you to speak about a case of three lugin minus a quart of. V'rab Yochanan a seifa palik. And therefore, using that logic, Rabbi Yochanan would argue on the seifa. V'rav do amar kedivrei hakol. And Rav ultimately, again, holds like everyone. So we'll say, just by the way, how do we paskin in this case? Shulchan Aruch paskin in Hilchos Mikvos the following way. The Rabbi say, Shulchan Aruch paskin in two cases. If you have less than three lugin of Mayim Shu'uvin that fall into a mikvah. Even if what? Let's say using this case, you have three lugin minus a quart of drawn water. And something else completes the quart of. It doesn't matter what it is, it does not invalidate the mikvah. The only thing that will invalidate a mikvah that is less, and I want to be clear, we're talking about less than 40 saw. Because once you hit the 40 saw measurement, your mikvah is solid. In fact, by the way, not only is your mikvah solid, I will say, but what happens once you have a mikvah of 40 saw, then what happens when a foreign waters come into the mikvah? Not only nothing, but what? they become part of the mikvah. Say, this is how our mikvahs generally operate today. Meaning, you go to a mikvah, there's very often more than 40 sa'a, right? But yet, again, so we, whatever, with that, with the concept of hashaka, ultimately, again, once you have a valid mikvah, and the valid mikvah water is kiss, so to speak, other waters, they connect, they make those other waters main mikvah as well. So halacha l'maisa number one is, it is only 3 lugin of mayim shuvin which will invalidate a mikvah. If you have 3 lugin minus a kurtov, and even though there's another liquid that is fit, that is rounding out that 3 lug measurement, it does not invalidate a mikvah. Furthermore, even if you have 3 lugin of mayim shuvin, but then a kurtov of wine falls into those 3 lugin, and the 3 lugin look like wine, it also does not invalidate them. So we'll say either it has to be less than 3 lugin of mayim shuvin, or even if it's 3 lugin, but it looks like wine, then ultimately, again, it will not invalidate the mikvah. Good. Passing on those mikvah shaylas now. Good. So now the Yehuda Marav. We'll say next case. Still a similar idea. Chavis Malei Amayim. This is actually a very interesting case. I have a barrel that's filled with mayim shuvin. I have a barrel filled with drawn water. Shenafla liyam hagodol, and it fell into the great sea. Rabbi, I say yam hagodol. When the Gemara talks about is the Mediterranean, falls into the great sea. So what happens? Hatovash, Rabbi, say now. Watch this case. I empty the contents of a barrel. Right, I have a barrel of drawn water, mayim shuvin. I empty the contents right into the sea. Now what happens? What does the Gemara tell me? Hatovel sham. If I use, I'm using the sea as the mikvah. If I tovel myself right in that spot, well, what's that spot? The spot where I emptied the contents of the barrel. Lo also lo tvila. I both say the immersion in the mikvah does not work. Why not? Chayshiran l'shlosh lugin shlo yuhu b'makom echad. Because what do I have to be concerned about? Since I emptied the contents of the barrel right here, and I immersed right here, what's the concern? The concern is that there's going to be a concentrated amount of 3 lugin of drawn water right in this space, which will invalidate my mikvah. So Gemara says, but 1 second, let's clarify or qualify this. V'dafka liyam hagadol dekoy v'kaima. Rabbi said, this is dafka in the Great Sea, where it's standing water. Aval nara ba'al malo. So what the Gemara is saying over here is, this is a chashash only in a body of standing water, where if I dump the contents of the barrel and I immerse immediately afterwards, the concern is what? That I immersed in drawn water. But if I'm in a moving body of water and I empty the contents in a river or any moving body of water and I empty the contents and I immerse in that spot, it's not a problem. Why? Because I assume that ultimately, again, the water that I immersed in is not the water that I emptied. So the Gemara says, Taina, the Rabbi that supports this, Chavis Malaya Yayin. Supposed to listen to this case. I have a barrel filled with wine. Shenafla liyam hagodol, that ultimately again fell into the great sea. Tolba shamla also la tvila. If you immerse right in that spot, you did not, the tvila is not proper. Why? Chayshin on the shlosha lugin shuv and shloyu b'makom echad. Ultimately, again, I'm concerned about 3 lug of mayim shuv in one spot. V'chein kikar shal truma. And I will say similarly again, a kikar of truma, right? If I have a loaf of truma bread, shenafal sham, that falls there, tame, ultimately, again, I will assume that truma bread, Rabosei, will be tame. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Rabosei, first white line of Rashi, tame, shema yayin om bimkomo, v'nitma machma sa'adam, v'chazer v'timei asakikar. So we'll say, what this case, what it means if the truma bread falls, what it means is, I empty the barrel, the contents of the barrel, I immerse in that spot. We just said, if it's standing water, again, I am not tahar, right? I am tame. I am still tummy. By definition, I also gave over my status to the wine, to the standing water that's there, which then means that if a kikar of truma is also touches that water, the kikar becomes tummy. To which the Gemara says, my v'chein, what does it mean, and also the kikar of truma? What would I have thought? Hasam uke gavra chazake, hacha uke truma chazaka. So I'm going to thought the following. In all of these cases, Rabbi Osai, the tefillah is invalid. And when we say the tefillah is invalid, therefore what? We establish a person in his last known state. What is my last known state, Rabbi Osai? Thank you. What's my last known state? My last known state is Tameh. So I'm going to thought that in all of these cases, because the tefillah is not valid, what I essentially do is establish the person or the item in his last known state. The last known state of the kikar of Truma was that it's tahar. I might have thought, therefore, keep it in a state of tara. Kamash malo, no, that we say that the kikar of truma will be tamei. So we'll say, so bottom line, what comes out of this next halacha? So this next piece of halacha, we'll say, is that if you empty the contents of a barrel of drawn water into a body of standing water, and you immerse right there, we'll say this is sort of like you dump it, and you immerse there, so then the tefillah doesn't work. Because we're choshesh that in that moment you are actually immersing in three or more lugin of drawn water. But obviously it only applies to a body of standing water, will not apply to a body of flowing water. Good. Well, let's go by there. I neglected to mention that our shid this morning is dedicated by Yonah and Shoshi Ehrenfeld in memory of Yonah's grandfather, Gedalia ben Yaakov HaKohen. We hope that in the merit of our time and Torah's neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. Well, so let's go by there. All right, we'll say more Zomerman cases. It gets very exciting. Me'idin Anu Bishploni. Shechayev l'chaveiro masayim zuz. We'll say, listen to this. We, witnesses, we call them Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon testify. Actually, let's call them A and B. A and B testify that Reuven owes Shimon 200 zuz. Reuven bar money owes him 200 zuz. V'nim su zomimin, and ultimately, again, they found to be idim zomim. So we'll say this actually is a straightforward case. A and B, witnesses A and B, Shav and Beisdin, claim that Reuven borrowed 200 zuz from Shimon. Reuven owes Shimon 200 zuz because we witnessed the loan transaction on, you know, the 20th of Cheshvan. And another set of witnesses show up and say, A and B, you could not have seen that because on the 20th of Cheshvan you were with us. A and B are made into Edom Zomun. Good. So what happens? What's the halacha? The halacha is Lokin and Shalman. We both give the witnesses the Edom Zomun Malkus, and they have to pay the 200 zuz. Why? Shelo Hashem ha-mevi'en lidei makas, mevi'en lidei tashumen divi Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir says, and I will say, the pasuk that gives them the liability, or the pasuk that creates the liability for malchus, is not the same pasuk that creates the liability for hazama, for the reciprocal punishment. Rashi points out over here, if you look at Rashi in the Mishnah, four lines up from the bottom, Shelo Hashem ha-mechayva malchus mechayva tashlumen, malchus mishum lo sana. So we'll say, a false witness will get malchus because he's in violation of lo sana, of not giving false testimony. V'tashlumen mishum kasher zama. And we'll say, tashlumen repayment comes about why? Because of Kasher Zama. So therefore, Rabbi Meir posits, Rabbi Osai, that whenever you go, so Rabbi Meir will always essentially say that every Eid Zomim essentially gets two punishments. You get Malkus for violation of Losana, one of the Aseret HaDibros, don't bear false witness, and you get the reciprocal punishment based on the pasuk of Kasher Zama. That's Rabbi Meir. Chacham say no, call the Mishanim ain't a loke. Chacham say no, not true. Once you have to pay, you don't get Malkus. You don't get Malkus. Furthermore, me'idin arav bishplani shuchai malchus arboim benimtzu zomin. Supposed to listen to this. Another case. Right, A and B testify that Reuven is chayiv malchus. Right, they testify. We saw him eat a cheeseburger. Right, so if he eat basar b'chalof, well, I don't know if it's basar b'chalof, but eat tarfus, he get malchus. So we testify that he's chayiv malchus. What happens? Rabbi Meir says, lokin shmonim. Rabbi Meir says, each witness gets 80 malchus. Why? Two sets of 40. Mishum lo sana b'rechayit shaker, mishum v'asisim lo kasher zamam. Because we'll say the witnesses are in violation, Edom Zomim are in violation of two lavim. Don't bear false witness, and what? Being an Eid Zomim. Dear Rabbi Meir, v'chom v'chom say no, lo in lokin ela arbam. V'chom say no, you only get one set of malchus. Fine. So we'll say, so what's happening over here? I'm with base. So here we go. So as I coin to the Rabbanon, I understand the logic. Why? You're supposed to remember again, Rabbanon are always the one who say that what? You get one punishment. If you're getting Hazama, you're not getting Malchus. And if you're getting Malchus, you get one set of Malchus, not two. So according to the Rabbanon, I understand this. Kedei Rish Asokasiv. When speaking of, this is actually the pasuk that the Gemara quoted on Daf Beis, to ultimately serve as the proof text that when you can't administer Hazama, you give the Edom Zomim Malchus. So the pasuk says, Kedei Rishaso. Kedei Risha So. That when speaking about Malkus, you go ahead and you give him the number of Malkus in accordance with his Risha. So we'll say, we're actually going to interpret that later on. You know, Beis Din had a court-appointed physician. Where essentially, if you were going to get Malkus, you got a physical by Beis Din to figure out how many Malkus you could actually withstand. So watch this. So the Gemara Dashes over the Rabbana say, Kedei Risha So. You are punished in accordance with your evil act. Mishum rishachas atamachayvo, v'atamachayvo mishum shtei rishios. So the way we paskin that ultimately is, you are punished for one act, but you're not punished for two. In other words, that when you have liability, I will say, you have one liability or one punishment, one onesh, but not two. So the Rabbanan base their psak on Xeris HaKosov, Kedei Risha, so you will punish someone in accordance with their act of evil. So for one act you are punished, not for two acts. Even though, again, you may be simultaneously violating two prohibitions, anytime you are a false witness in Eid Zomim, you are simultaneously violating two prohibitions, Lo Sana Berechayit Shaker, not bearing false witness, and the Pasuk of Eidim Zomim. So even though you're violating two prohibitions simultaneously, we can only punish you for one thing. So the Gemara says, that's the position of the Chachamim, and I understand it. But Rabbi Meir, who says that what? That you're going to get two punishments, that you'll get a punishment ultimately again for a violation of Losana and a violation of Eid Zomim. What's his logic? Amar Ula, so I'll say Ula advances a fascinating idea. Amar Ula, Gamar Mimotzi Shemra. So we'll say Ula says that we can learn this after Motzi Shemra. How so? So we'll say, remember, Motzi Shemra is the man who, after marrying his wife, comes along to Beis Din and claims, Lo Matzasi Labitcha Besulin. Your daughter is actually a claim he makes against the father of the girl. Your daughter was not a Besula. Your daughter was not a Besula. So we'll say, what ultimately is he claiming? Right? He's claiming ultimately Mekachtos. Right? He's claiming that I thought I was marrying a Besula. Something went on over here and she's not a Besula. So what happens? So we'll say, what happens by Besula? What's going on over there? So says the Gemara. So what happens? So Amu'ula Ma Motzi Shemra Loki Umashan. I both say what happens by Motzi Shemra. So now let's say it turns. I both say Motzi Shemra is the process where he makes the claim. He makes the claim, and he's found to be a liar. He's found to be a liar. She was a basula. She was a basula. So we'll say. So what's his punishment if it turns out that he makes this claim against her? So the Gemara says Loki Umashalim. Ultimately, again, he gets Malkus. He gets lashes. And he has to pay a fine. So we'll say, what does Ula say? You see from here that what? Afko loka mashalim. So we'll say the point over here is we see that there is the possibility for multiple liabilities. So just like Motzi Shemra, you get Malkus and you pay. So too by Eid Zomim, because the Eid has simultaneously violated two prohibitions, he'll get two punishments. Remember, we'll say, the punishment for violating Losana is always the same. What's the punishment for violating Losana? Malkus. That's always the same. The variable punishment is for Edom Zomamin. But Ula says we have a halachic paradigm. The paradigm is Motzi Shema, where you can get two punishments for the same act. So to any time you're in Eid Zomim, you'll get two punishments for the same act. Mala Motzi Shema, 1 second, says the Gemara. Mala Motzi Shema, Shekin Kenas. But how can you bring a right for Motzi Shema? We'll say Motzi Shema is a penalty. Right? Remember, going back to our previous discussions, how do we know Motzi Shemra is a penalty? Is a penalty payment, not a compensatory payment. How do we know that? It's fixed. It's fixed, right? It's 50 shekel. It's fixed. So because it's 50 silver shekel, because it's fixed, ultimately, again, it's clear that it's a knas. So maybe you can't learn out from a knas to other cases, to which the Gemara says, Sabala Kirabi Akiva, Damar Edim Zomen Kinasahu. Because we'll say we're paskening here like Rabbi Meir will have to hold like Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Edim Zomen is also a Knas. So because Edim Zomen is a Knas, therefore we'll say this actually makes the argument stronger, just like Motzi Shemra is a Knas, and you can get two simultaneous punishments for one act, so to what? So to Edim Zomen is a Knas, and you can get two simultaneous punishments as well. Ikidemasli lahadu ula'aho. So I'll say there are some who go ahead and understand Ula's statement on the following. This Sanya, lo sosinu mimenu ad boker. We'll say the pasuk. This is by Karban Pesach. You can't leave over any part of the Karban Pesach until morning. Yet vanosim memenu ad boker. If you leave over to the morning, what's the halacha? Ba'ish tisareif. You could burn the leftovers. Ultimately, where you burn? Well, you burn leftovers. Ba'kos of litin asay achar losas. We'll say, what is the pasuk doing? And this is actually an interesting. It's actually an interesting halachic setup. First, the Torah is giving me is a losase, right? It's giving me a prohibition. Lo sosiru mimeno ad boker. I can't leave over anything until morning. That's the lo sasei. And then what? Then it's giving me an assay. What's the assay, Rabbo say? What's the positive commandment? Whatever is left over until morning, you should burn it. Now watch this. What is it telling me? Lomar, shin lokin alav de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbo say, this teaches me that because there is an assay after the lo sasei, that I do not get malchus ultimately again for the act of leaving over Karban Pesach. Look at Rashi. It's the first short line in Rashi. Shein lokin alav, shaha assay ha amr acharav, Takanoso v'kaparoso al averasav. So we'll say the fact that, so you see, interestingly enough, the following. If Joe would have just said, lo sasimu al boker, don't leave over the Karban Pesach until morning, I would have said, if I leave it over until morning, then what? Then what? Malchus. I violated alav. What does the Torah do? The Torah gives me an assay. Whatever you have left over in the morning, burn it. We'll say, what's the power of that assay? That assay gives me the ability to rectify the lo sasei. What it also tells me is, I don't get malchus for the violation of the lo sasei, which makes sense. Once the Torah is giving me an assay that allows me to remedy the lo sasei, then violation of the lo sasei will not incur the penalty of malchus. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo min Hashem huzeh. So also Rabbi Akiva says, look at Rashi for just a moment. Lo min Hashem huzeh, in tam zeh ikar, delav shenitak laseh in lokin alav, ela mipnei ma hamosir in alok, eh? Lefi shulav shem ha-masir. So Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, no, yes. What does that mean? I agree with you that there's no malchus, but it's for a different reason, and I'll tell you why. Ela mishum dehavi lav she'in ba-maisa. Because they both say the act of leaving over Karban Pesach is what? Is what? Is a lav shem b'maisa. Both say, why is it a lav shem b'maisa? Remember, it's inaction. It's inaction. And Rabbi Kiva says, v'cholav shem b'maisa in lokin alof. Rabbi Kiva holds, both say that any time you violate something through inaction, there's no malchus for that. Mechlad Rabbi Yehuda Savar, lav shein b'maisa lokin alof. Both say, but this sounds like ultimately again that Rabbi Yehuda would hold. So you both say, Rabbi, here's what's interesting. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yagia agree that there is no malchus penalty for leaving over Karban Pesach. There is no malchus penalty. That Rabbi Yehuda says the reason for that is why? Because it's a lav hanitak la'asei. That there's a lav, excuse me, that there is a, there is an assay that, yeah, lav hanitak la'asei. There is an assay, a positive commandment that remedies the lav. Right? Vanosimen ad boker, but each day, sorry, remedies lo sasimen ad boker. So we'll say what we can infer from that is if there was no assay, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that what? You would get malchus for leaving over Karban Pesach until the morning. Yet leaving over Karban Pesach until the morning is what? Is a lav shein b'maisa. There's no action. And yet you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you get malchus for a lav shein b'maisa. Where does he get that from? Min alei Amar Ula, gamar mi motzi shemra. Ula will say he learns that from motzi shemra. Ma motzi shemra, lav shein b'maisa. The Bible says, now what does it mean when it says that motzi shemra is a lav shein b'maisa? What does that mean? It's speech. It's just deep word. It's deep word. And yet what do you get malchus for? So just like Motzi Shemra is a case of Dibor, it's a Lav Shein Mamaisa, you get Malchus. So this, oh, you see from here that in other cases of Lav Shein Mamaisa, you also get Malchus. So the Gemara says, Af kol Lav Shein Mamaisa lokin alav. So to again, any case of Lav Shein Mamaisa, you will get Malchus on that as well. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Mala Motzi Shemra, Shkein Loko Meshalim. But 1 second, Motzi Shemra has its own Chumra. But say, what's the Chumra Motzi Shemra? That you get two punishments for one act. Right, you'll go in and you'll get malchus, and you'll also have to pay. You're right, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, we're trying to figure out, Rabbi Yehuda is holding that you get malchus for a lav shein b'maisa. Both say, fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds you don't get malchus for a lav shein b'maisa, a prohibition with no action. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you do get malchus for a lav shein b'maisa. We're trying to figure out, where does Rabbi Yehuda learn this out from? So the Gemara just posited that maybe we learn it out from Motzi Shemra. You can't learn out from Motzi Shemra. Why? Because Motzi Shemra is unique. It's more chumer. Why is it more chumer? Because you're getting two punishments for one act. You're going to get both malchus as well as mammon. You have to pay. So therefore, we have to learn out from elsewhere. The Ela Amar Yesh Lakish, Gamar Me'idim Zomin. Rabbo say, Rabbi Yehuda must learn out the idea that you could get malchus for a lav she'in b'maisa from Edim Zomin. Because Rabbo say, remember, Edim Zomin is a lav she'in b'maisa. Why? Why? It's just speech. It's just dibor. Yet you get malchus. First white line, dalal amar deis. Af kol lav shein b'maisa lokin alav. So to Rabbo say, any lav doesn't have a maisa. You also get malchus on it. But 1 second, malei dim zomin shekein ein tzrichin hasra. Rabbo say, ve'idim zomin also has also has a chumrah. What's the chumrah of Edim Zorah Bosai? That you could punish witnesses even without a warning. Now, as well say, when witnesses come to Bezin to testify, we don't tell them, by the way, you should just know, if you become Edim Zum, oh, well, I'll tell you even better. Why not just go ahead and just warn every single set of witnesses before they come into Beis Din, right? If you choose to be Edim Zomin, you're going to get a reciprocal punishment, and then we satisfy the criteria of Hasra. So I'll say, can't do that. Remember, we learned about this. Why not? That's called Hasra Safik, right? Hasra is only meaningful if you clearly warn someone right before they're about to commit the act. If someone's not engaged in any semblance of the act, and you just give them a... It's like saying, I can give you Hasra right now. If you're ever Mechal Shabbos, you're going to get Skila. Okay, good. Consider yourself warned. Hasra, right? So it doesn't work. That's not how Hasra works. Hasra has to be juxtaposed to the framework, ultimately, again, of the commission of the negative act. It has to be b'shas maisa. So therefore, again, the Gemara is just saying one of the unique aspects of Edim Zomin is that what? Is that it doesn't require Hasra. The point the Gemara is making over here is you can't use Edim Zomin as the source that you get Malkus for a Lav She'in Bo Maisa for one simple reason, which is it has a unique chumrah. Anytime something has a unique chumrah, it cannot serve as the basis for something else. So now we're a little bit stuck. Why are we stuck? Here's what we know. What do we know? We know that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you get Malkus for a Lav She'in Bo Maisa. That we know. What's our problem? From where? So we suggest maybe learn that from Moti Shemra. Can't learn from Moti Shemra. Why? Why? Because Moti Shemra has its own unique halacha, namely that you get Malkus and you pay. Well, let's learn from Edim Zomin. Can't learn from Edim Zomin. Why? Why? Because Edim Zomin also has its own unique aspect in that the witnesses do not require Hasra. So what's going on over here? So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara says, V'chazer Adin. So Chazer Adin means we could keep doing this for hours, right? Meaning we could keep going around in circles over and over. Lori Izeh Kirizeh. In reality, I will say these cases are dissimilar from one another. But what's the common denominator that we have between Edim Zomin and Motzi Shemra? Lav Shein Bomaisa. I will say even though they each have their own unique chumras or own unique qualities, there is a common denominator. What's the common denominator? Lav Shein Bomaisa. But look, in Alof, what we say the common denominator is they're both prohibitions that do not have dynamic activity. They're both centered on speech, and yet you still get Malkus. I've called Lav Shein Bamaisa, Lokin Alof. So I'll say ultimately again, we just did something very interesting. We recognize that I can't learn it out from either one of these cases, but what can I do? I can learn it out from both. So what we do is we create what's called a Tzad HaShava. Tzad HaShava, Rabbi Osei, is a common denominator. So when looking at both of these cases, recognizing that they each have their own unique characteristics, what is the common denominator? The common denominator is, it's a Lav Shein B'maisa, there's no action, and you get Malkus. What do I extrapolate from that? That I get Malkus for a Lav Shein B'maisa, Rabbi Osei, which is the position of Rabbi Huda. One second. Ma'ala Tzad HaShava Shava and Shekein Yeshba and Tzad Chomer. But why don't they say the common denominator is that they both have a Chumrah? Maybe that's the common denominator. They both have a chumrah. Rabbi Yehuda tzad chumrah lo parach. So we'll say ultimately again, Rabbi Yehuda will say, look at Rashi tzad chumrah lo parach. Hol of a chumrah shalzeh, inu chumrah shalzeh, in tamam malchus talibos. So we'll say, Rabbi Yehuda will say no. They don't share a common chumrah. So because they don't share a common chumrah, that can't be the tzad hashava. The tzad hashava has to be something that is unique to both of them. Fine. So we'll say, so it seems to be over here that what we've arrived at now is at least Rabbi Yehuda shita of Lav Shein Bo Maisa is Lokin Alav. Lav Shein Bo Maisa gives him Malkus. And I will say we arrive at that ultimately through a Tzad HaShava, a common denominator between Edim Zomamin and Moshe Shemer. Now I will say, now understand, this is not our primary topic. What is our primary topic? The machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir telling me that every single time an aid is made into an aid zomim, he's getting what? Two punishments. One for the violation of each independent love, whereas the Rabbanon are holding, no, you only get one punishment. So says the Gemara, so what's kind of Rabbanon? Hailo sanabreid bereacha et shaker maidashi. So what's remember again? In Rabbi Meir's model, you're getting one's punishment for being an aid zomim, and one punishment for violating losana breacha et shaker. Do not be a false witness. Now, Rabbi Meir's position only works if what? Here we go. This is where it gets exceptionally incredibly amazing. Mm-hmm. Rabbi, who does Rabbi Meir's position only works if Vajra Bosai? Who do you have? Who does Rabbi Meir have to hold like? He has to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, right? He has to hold that you do get Malkus for a laugh, Shein Bomaisa. Why? Why does he have to hold that? Because Lo Sa'ana Bre Acha Eit Shaker, giving false testimony is Vajra Bosai, is a laugh, Shein Bomaisa. Rabbi Meir holds you getting Malkus for it. Oh. You want to see that Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda. That's how you spend the whole time on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda holds that you get Malkus for Lav Shema Maisa. Fine. So let's say we've got Rabbi Meir's Shita squared away. We're good. We're good. I understand why I get punished for being an Eid Zomim. I understand why I get punished ultimately for violating Lo Sana, because he holds like Rabbi Hudu holds that you get Malkus for Lav Shema Maisa. Good. For Rabbanon Hain Lo Sana Berecha Chaka Mayim Pedashibe. So we'll say, what do the Rabbanon do with the prohibition of Lo Sana Berecha Chaka? What do they do with this prohibition? We'll say, so remember again, the Rabbanon will say that Pasuk is Das Hara. We'll say, generally, the way the Torah is set up is that each prohibition has two lavim. One lav serves as the ashara, as the warning, and one lav serves as the source for the punishment. Two different. So Rabbi Huda, excuse me, Rabbanu will say that lo sa'ana brecha et shaker is the lav, not the onesh, but is the lav for false witnesses, for Edim Zomin. And the parish of Edim Zomin, Rabbi will say, is what? Is the onesh, is the punishment. Rabbi Meir will say, ashara la Edim Zomin minadle. What does Rabbi Meir learn out? The warning for Edim Zomin. Rabbi Meir learns out the ashara, the warning for Edim Zomim from this pasuk, that those who are left behind, in other words, those who witness the execution of the witnesses, of the false witnesses, will see or will hear, and will see and will not do this again. Not do this again is the prohibition, is the ashara for Edim Zomim. V'Rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan do with that pasuk? Miboyle Abosai, top of hay. I just want to point out, by the way, it's like a shtickel daf yomi accomplishment. We're going from Gimel Amud Beis to Hey Amud Aleph. I'm just saying. So what happens? The Rabbanan will say, Hahumi Boile. I'm just saying, if you're comparing daf yomi notes with somebody, like, hey, where'd you guys start this morning? Right? Where did you end up this morning? So I'm just saying, we started Gimel Amud Beis and we got Hey Amud Aleph. So what did the Rabbanan do with this? Hahumi Boile, Abosai Tap of Hey, Lahachroza. Well, this is actually very important. So the Rabbanon used that phrase of Vahanisharim Yishmu V'yirav Lo Yosifu O to tell you that what? Well, so we learned this in Sanhedrin, that there are four different types of situations where after Beis Din goes ahead and executes someone, that they make an announcement, a public announcement. They both say, one of the times that Beis Din always makes an announcement, even if it's not a case of execution, is by Edim Zomimim. When it comes to false witnesses, Beis Din always announces. Where did the Rabbanon learn this concept of announcement? Rabbi Meir, Hachroza, maybe Yishmu V'yiro Nafka. So, also interesting enough, Rabbi Meir splices the pasuk. He says, Vanisharim Yishmu V'yiro means Beis Din announces it, for the Yosifu Od is the Azhara, ultimately again, is the Azhara for Edom Zone. So, we'll say, just to close this out, it's, we know who we pass like over here. We pass in this Mishnah like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Meir. And therefore, I will say, every time a person is in Eid Zomim, they will only receive one punishment. That's based on two things. That's based, number one, on Kidei Rishaso, Mishum Rishachas Atamachai V'Yotamachai V'Tushem Shdu Rishios. You can only punish a person once. And I will say, remember, we pass in that you don't get Malkus on a lav Shein B'Maisa. Right? We don't pass like Rabbi Hud and Rabbi Meir in this. Normally, we say you don't get Malkus when there's a lav without an action. Edom Zomim is going to be the exception. And the reason it's the exception is because there's a mefurish pasuk. But I will say, bottom line, we pass in like the chachamim that when a person is in eid zomim, we don't give them a punishment for lo sana brecha eid shaker and eidim zomim, but rather again, there is one punishment ultimately for violation of the law of eidim zomim. We'll see. We'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow.